You know, this is incredibly busy. I'm surprised you get any time to stop and eat. I mean, this is really a lot of policy changing, a flurry of activity happening very quickly, and in some cases, very big stuff. And if I was going to illustrate that comment, I would point directly to the Affordable Care Act.
I'm glad you did. I had a meeting yesterday, and you know, I live in Springfield, I'm downstater, and I look at the efforts to repeal the Affordable Care Act, and I called in the Illinois Hospital Association. I said, what's going to happen the day after repeal of the Affordable Care Act when it comes to hospitals in our state? And they said, we estimate that we will lose with repeal about 95,000 of the best paying jobs in Illinois at our hospitals, and many of our hospitals, particularly those in small towns and rural areas, are going to be threatened. Two of them that testified or came to our roundtable in Springfield yesterday said, we've stopped all plans for new construction at our hospitals until we find out what Washington's going to do. Tom, you and I know how important these hospitals are to these communities, not just good-paying jobs, but you know, life or death medical care for people 50 miles closer than the next hospital. So this debate in Washington really is one that comes right home to Southern Illinois.
One of the items that I most often hear about and was echoed recently by Congressman John Shimkus was the pre-existing conditions aspect of the Affordable Care Act.
Is there a listener out there who doesn't have someone in their family, a friend or someone they work with a pre-existing condition? You may have a spouse with diabetes. You may have a child or someone in your family who has survived a cancer treatment scare. All of these things used to disqualify you from buying health insurance or make it so darned expensive you couldn't afford it. So if we're going to say we're going to get rid of the Affordable Care Act, which said you can't discriminate based on pre-existing conditions, what's left? We're back to the bad old days where you're fighting to buy insurance, and if you can buy it, it's hard to afford.
So will the Democrats and Republicans be able to work forward on the Affordable Care Act to come up with an item that doesn't include huge monthly bills for people, because that is the thing that people are bringing in particular single females who say, I cannot afford this. This is the house and the car payment.
Well, that you really get down to the bottom line here. There are a lot of things good about the current Affordable Care Act. We have the lowest percentage of uninsured people in history. We see protections now in our health insurance policies we didn't have before. What's bad about it? Well, the premiums are too high, as you pointed to, for a lot of people. Even with the subsidies, some are high. Without the subsidies, impossible. So we've got to make it affordable, number one. Number two, you got to make it a health insurance policy that's worth owning. To have health insurance that's of no value to you is a waste of your time and money and leaves you vulnerable. Can we get there? Yes, but we don't start with repeal. We start with replacement. That, to me, is the constructive way to do this. Democrats, Republicans, sit down, admit what's good about the Affordable Care Act, admit what's bad about it, and that's our starting point.
Well, the fact is, with this flurry, flurry is probably a little light on tone, really, because you're working on the Affordable Care Act, as you mentioned, the roundtable, but also you've recently met with the Secretary of State Tillerson, which of course saw some committee approval yesterday, and then the Senate voted yesterday to confirm Kansas Congressman Mike Pompeo as CIA director. These confirmation hearings are moving ahead pretty quickly, but you spent a lot of time in particular with Rex Tillerson.
Tillerson is an interesting fellow, 40 years with ExxonMobil. He started as an engineer and made it to be the top man at the company. He's a wealthy individual. He's worked all over the world trying to develop new sources of energy. Fascinating guy. I really enjoyed it. The question in my mind, the mind of many people, can you put that ExxonMobil hat up on a hook and now say, I'm wearing a new hat. I represent the United States of America, its foreign policy. I may have to make decisions which aren't good for big oil, but are good for America. And that's really the question that keeps coming up over and over. Can a person with no record in public service move into the top foreign policy role in our government? I think that reflects the questions that members are asking.
Yeah, Senator Portman came out this morning just about 10 minutes ago on CNN voicing his support for Tillerson.
Yes, and I think that Tillerson at this point is going to have the support of all the Republicans. The question is whether he will have any Democratic support. I'm looking at it. Haven't made up my mind on this one. I enjoyed my meeting. I thought he was a good fellow and had a great story to tell. For example, you know, he knows Vladimir Putin personally. He received an award from Vladimir Putin for his work with the Russian government. But I said to him, we know Vladimir Putin can be a bad dude when it gets down to it. He invades countries. He puts people in jail. He's surrounded by these ultra-rich Russians. You know, how are you going to deal with him on a political basis? And that just shows how we're trying to move from his business background into a projection of what he'll be as Secretary of State.
What are the prospects of working? Now, let's take a look. The TPP, the Mexico City, the freeze of federal yesterday out of the White House and executive order. You've got the confirmations, the ACA. I know it's probably too early to ask this question. Senator Dick Durbin's joining us this morning. Is there a relationship between the president and legislators and a relationship between Democrats and Republicans that's starting to congeal with some hope of productivity?
I have that hope, but it's still way too soon because we are waiting to see what the president is going to ask of us. What is his policy going to be? What will his budget look like? There are some things that we Democrats feel pretty strongly about. Social Security, goodness, you know, we have tens of millions of Americans who depend on it. And for the average Social Security recipient, the average payment is $1,200 a month. About a third of people on Social Security are barely getting by with their Social Security check. This, any suggestion of privatizing Social Security or endangering that check, well, it's going to be a fight. Same thing on Medicare. This Congressman Price, who wants to head up the agency to supervise Medicare, has proposed in the past privatizing it, giving it to private insurance companies. That's where the fight, as far as I'm concerned. Medicare works, and seniors across Illinois and around the country believe it. So it really depends on what President Trump comes forward with and says, here's what I want to do. If he can find middle ground on something like infrastructure, sign me up. We need more roads. We need safer roads. We need better bridges and highways across the country and mass transit, airports, you name it. So we're waiting for his proposals.
You know, what's interesting is you and I, Senator, I'm sure we'll agree on this issue. People are smarter than they've ever been when it comes to seeing through bull. While at the same time, garbage in, garbage out, fake news. I don't call it fake news. I call it tortured truth, because sometimes there's a grain in there and you just torture it till you get it to say what you want. And then you've got Russian hacking. I mean, right now, for people who want to go out, gather information so they can make good, solid decisions about what they want to see from their government, what's the prospects of the future, it's harder than ever. And Russian hacking appears to be one of the issues. You're involved in the investigation. What are you seeing there that we should know?
It's an outrage. You know, we have the invasion of Pearl Harbor and the killing of thousands of Americans in the beginning of World War II. What the Russians tried to do in our election is a cyber act of war. It is that election day was a day that should live in cyber infamy. To think that Vladimir Putin had the nerve to invade the American political system to try to influence the outcome is outrageous, whichever party he preferred. And I just don't think there's been a level of outrage. It's been expressed by members of Congress. We can't let him get by with this. He's done it in other countries. He'll do it again. This man has no more business in our politics than we have in his. And I hope that this country will wake up to it. He has the capacity of really influencing this election. He didn't do as much as he could have done in this last one. And I'm not saying he influenced the outcome. He influenced, but he didn't change the outcome as far as I'm concerned. We don't have any evidence that he monkeyed with casting of ballots or counting of ballots. But he was all over the place in spreading false news, tortured truth, as you call it, and the American people ought to be upset about it.
Senator, I really do appreciate your time this morning. I know you're exceedingly busy. These next few days, what's on the menu? How would you, could you give us a preview of what you expect to see in Washington, what we should be watching for back home?
Nominations, the cabinet. We now have three members of the cabinet that we've sent back to the president. There'll be more. There are some that I'm clearly going to support. Elaine Chao is going to be Secretary of Transportation. I know her well. She's been Secretary of Labor under President Bush. She is Senator Mitch McConnell's wife. I respect her. We have different political views on political issues, but I know she's going to be a professional and a good manager. And transportation, it means a lot to our state. So I'm going to vote for her. I told her so. Anxious to support her.